All right, good morning, everyone. We're looking at a ChristianPost.com in North America section article emailed to me. Progressive Baptists rally support for gay marriage ahead of November elections. All right, David, we're Baptist, and so tell us, what's this article all about?
Well, we've got some that are using the Baptist label that are looking for a more inclusive definition of who can be in a church, what makes up a Christian, what's permissible. We've got Minnesota's First United Church of Christ, the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists, as well as the Alliance of Baptists and Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America, who are coming together to hold a rally called Many Voices, One Love campaign, and it's seeking to change the traditional definition of marriage.
So before we as Baptists beat up the Episcopalians or the Presbyterians,
right,
and some of these, David, for the problems, let's recognize that even within our own denomination, we're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
The meeting is scheduled between July 30th and August 4th, and it's a way, and in a way, it is a follow-up on the organization's efforts back in February to sway public opinion in favor of same-sex marriage, a mission that proved unsuccessful in the end as North Carolina voted to uphold an amendment in its state law that bans gay marriage. We began as a dissenting voice in Baptist life more than 25 years ago. For more than 20 years, we have affirmed the call and ordination of women in ministry and the full acceptance and embracing of the LGBT community. Today, we are the many voices of the progressive Christians seeking to respond to the continuing call of God in a rapidly changing world. David, let's talk about that word progressive.
Mm-hmm.
How's it being used?
Progressive is, in their mind, a positive thing. It means we are progressing towards new ideals. We change with the times. We change our message. We change our delivery. And in essence, we change our rules. And anything that may have been believed previously is not as good, because it really, evolution almost comes into this, a social idea of evolution, that we are evolving as people. And so we need to evolve our traditions, we need to evolve our standards. I think the sentence that you just read tells us exactly what we want to know. It says, today we're the many voices of progressive Christians seeking to respond to the continuing call of God in a rapidly changing world. So in a rapidly changing world, what they're actually doing is making a rapidly changing God, which flies in the face of Scripture.
Yeah, the idea of being progressive sounds cool, David.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be, what's the opposite of progressive?
Regressive.
I don't want to be regressive. I mean, I've got an iPhone, David. I've got an iPad.
Right.
I'm in the 21st. I mean, I want to move forward.
Yeah, progress is a good thing.
Right, progress is a good thing. And so this idea that I'm not progressive, that seems negative.
Right. Yeah, it has definitely been, depending on which side you're standing on, progressive is either a very positive thing or a very negative thing.
It's being used wisely by Satan, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how this is a campaign that seems to be like, well, sure. I mean, we've changed our music, for example.
Yeah.
A lot of small traditional churches now have upbeated their music a little bit. We want to reach the younger generation.
Right.
They're progressive, so we want to be progressive. You just can't help but to wonder, David, how many Baptists are associated in these kind of churches and really don't even know the agenda to its fullest extent?
Yeah, I think it does speak to a base, a congregation base, that's probably not integrally interested in church constitutions, articles of faith, general practices, because you can't imagine that many people would subscribe to this under this banner of what the word Baptist means and what it's meant throughout history.
It's hard to imagine. Baptists, David, have always had a reputation of being people of the book.
Right.
Dying for the book.
Yes.
Insisting that the book is inerrant, infallible, the word of God, inspired. It's the inspiration of God is what split the Southern Baptist Convention almost.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like Adrian Rogers fought for the inspiration of the book.
Right.
How could you be progressive in this sense and still be a Baptist then?
In name only, it seems. I think what they are trying to do is, as many so-called Christian ministries do today, is we're trying to bring God down to a human level. That God has to change and adapt to this changing world because it's just all happening so fast. You know, if we don't make God change, then he's going to be antiquated. He's going to be old-fashioned, and people aren't going to want to be a part of this. And so we've brought down to God down to our level where we can mold him into whatever we want him to be.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because from the T4G conference, I remember the statement that stuck out at me was that all heresy comes from a point of initially apologetics,
mm-hmm.
this need to apologize for God, that we're going to defend God.
Right.
And then this continuing defending of God ends up being heresy.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being heretical. Sunday night after church, a lady came up to me and was just badgering me about questions. And one of them was, what do you, preacher, think about female pastors? What does this church stand on that issue? And I said, well, the Word of God's abundantly clear from 1 Timothy 3, the pastor must be husband of one wife. And she said, wasn't that a cultural thing?
Mm-hmm.
That's not very progressive.
Right.
That's the whole idea. Is when Paul gave that directive to young Timothy 2,000 years ago, was that directive just for Timothy, David?
Right. It's taking that scripture to fit our agendas of what's going on currently. That's the progressive way of doing things. I had a conversation with a great friend of mine a while back, and he is under the impression of, well, when it says one man, one woman, it really, really probably means one spouse and one spouse. And just thinking about it, you know, in our progressive society, I can see why someone would go, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Sure.
Spouse, husband, wife, same thing. But if we really look at what the scripture means, it says one man and one woman, you know, and it's very clear about that. And if we can start changing things like that, and we've got Bible translation issues that are doing exactly that right now, we can make this scripture as progressive as we want it to be.
Well, David, once I start eliminating the gender distinctions in the Word of God, when does it stop?
Yeah.
Where does it stop? And the question is, it has to stop somewhere, right?
Right.
Listener, you'd say, yes, it's got to stop somewhere. Well, then where?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the new line in the sand that you're creating, and I would submit to you it's a shifting line in the sand. This organization starts off with, first, we got women accepted in the ordination. All right, that was step number one. What's step number two? Well, now step number two is anybody involved in the LGBT lifestyle.
Right.
Well, then the next question becomes, what about after that?
Yeah, and if you read some of these things, it goes even farther than that. So, okay, you can be involved in a gay or bisexual relationship. You can be a transgender person. You don't have to be in a committed relationship. You can have relations before marriage. You can have multiple relations before marriage. I mean, we can see how this ball is rolling downhill faster and faster as we go.
To the point at which there's really no standard to be ordained.
Yeah, how can you stop it at this point?
Right, sexual orientation, sexual practice, just whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no clear line. And that's what's dangerous about being, quote, progressive. What will you be progressive on and what will you not be progressive on? And that's what everyone's struggling with in many regards. In churches all across, progressive in music, progressive in preaching, progressive in what? And then where does it stop? And this organization, and again, I want to make sure that you, dear listener, know, they define themselves as, listen to this, the Association of Welcoming and Affirming Baptists. Well, David, who doesn't want to be welcoming?
Right. Yeah, it's a good. We do. We want to welcome. We want to affirm. Those are good things. We got the Peace Fellowship, the Baptist Peace Fellowship of North America. You know,
right. Who doesn't want to have peace?
We want to be peacemakers.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you're not discerning, listener, if you're not aware of what's going on inside your own mainline denomination or whatever you attend, wherever you worship, if you're not paying attention to this kind of stuff, you could easily land yourself on a Sunday morning on vacation in a church like this and not even know it. And it's interesting, there are signs that you should be looking for. For example, David, the rainbow is a sign that you will see in these churches' logos and on their websites.
Right.
The color purple will be another small sign, kind of an indication. You say, well, that seems so judgmental, Pastor Sean. Yes. Yes, that's right. I'm learning the signs of the times. I don't want to end up in a welcoming, affirming church by accident.
Right.
I may visit one, David, just for the point of knowing, but I don't want to bring my family of four
right.
in a welcoming, affirming church and then send them off to Sunday school.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to know the signs of the times.
Yeah, and we would, in any other area of life, we would, every one of these Baptists would so-called Baptists would go the same way. You know, we wouldn't go to the doctor's office that's dingy and falling apart. You know, we wouldn't take our kid to the daycare center that's got all kinds of health regulations. You know, when we look at the building, we can tell, all right, this is not where I want my family to be. This is not where I want my children to be. We're making judgments. And we should be doing the exact same thing, even more so when we're taking them into places where they're going to be learning spiritual matters.
If I went to visit Chicago, David, and I didn't take a map with me, and I wasn't paying attention, I could easily end up in a neighborhood, David, where I shouldn't have been.
Right.
Very dangerous situation. People are dying in the city of Chicago all the time. They have a significant murder problem right now mm-hmm. in the city. And if I just stumbled my family into Chicago and we were just cruising through neighborhoods and the doors were down, the doors were unlocked, the windows were down, David, you would think I was a stupid dad.
Right.
You wouldn't think of me as someone that was protecting my family and all that. And yet, I can't help but wonder how many fathers out there are just absolutely clueless of these type of things.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what's happening in their own church. They don't know what's happening within the broader context. They're not aware of these kind of things. They don't know that welcoming, affirming, progressive are actually buzzwords. They're indicators.
Right.
I have noticed recently, David, that LGBT is one thing. GLBT seems to be another thing.
Hmm.
That authors that seem to have a friendly perspective go GLBT.
Hmm.
At first, I thought, "What's going on here?" But I think it's code. I think it's an indication of an acceptance, or I'm the preacher, and I need to use this acronym. So I'm LGBT. But I'm now noticing that when an article has a friendly perspective, it seems to go GLBT. Now I'm not sure about that. I'd like to do some more research. I'd like
right.
to pay attention to that. But I don't see I see LGBT in Christian Post. I never see
right.
GLBT.
Hmm.
But I go to Huffington Post, for example,
right.
and I see GLBT. Hmm. It's interesting.
It is interesting.
You can't help but to wonder what kind of these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people in this movement, they know, David.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's a marketing agenda behind what they're doing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know what corporations, they know what businesses, they know who's friendly. They know who's not. They know what denominations. They know what churches within those denominations. They're better connected, David, than we are.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, especially in those circles. Yeah.
And this is an agenda. We're making you aware of this, that within the Baptist denomination, there is a progressive segment that is doing its very best to normalize this lifestyle within Baptist churches with an end objective of making sure that same-sex marriage is okay in 50 states. And David, they're not going to be satisfied until they achieve that objective.
Right, and I think that your point is well made, that the normalization of what they want this to be accepted as normal behavior. You know, we want to make clear that we would never, you know, if somebody is struggling with the sin of homosexuality, we would never turn them away from the church. But if you're going to wantingly participate in that sin and flaunt it and not be repentant about it, well, and want it to be normal, well, that's just not going to fly, because that's not going to stand up to our scriptural standards. And that's exactly what they want to do. They want to, as you said, move the line. They want to change the rules. They want to make it normal, because at its core, anybody involved in this movement has all the exact same civil rights that anybody else has. All they want is a normalization. They want that acceptance. They want it to move to that stage where they can take advantage of that side of things.
The end objective is that all of society goes, that is just as a legitimate form,
yes,
of sexual behavior as that is. And I'm just as happy with my son or daughter if they choose a boy for a boy or a girl for a girl as if they were choosing a heterosexual.
Exactly.
And anyone that doesn't feel that way, the attempt is to ostracize them. You are weird, you are right-wing, you're regressive, you're abnormal. Normal is now abnormal.
So it would feel like we're almost being judged in that case, maybe.
How could that be?
Yeah, exactly right.
These people are not judgmental,
yeah,
David.
I know.
They are as tolerant as it gets, is what they would say.
Exactly.
There isn't anyone more tolerant, and yet there is no tolerance for those that don't tolerate their sex.
Definitely, yeah. And that's really where we run up to it. I mean, not that we would stand and say nothing if there was this great tolerant relationship between the two camps. But when you're going to purport tolerance and then be entirely intolerant, it kind of tells you a lot about the agenda that's going on.
Yeah, it smacks of an incredible double standard.
Right.
It's really the height of hypocrisy,
right,
in every regard. And yet our listener thinks they almost feel bad for them taking a biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are in this organization lots of heterosexuals,
mm-hmm,
that can't even conceive of indulging in homosexual behavior.
Right.
But they have been so oppressed that they've been made to feel guilty for insisting on this as the only normal sexual behavior,
mm-hmm,
by this small minority, tiny segment of society. And so thanks for listening. Another News and Focus program to keep you aware of what's happening even within Baptist denominations. By the way, the Episcopalians just voted to bless same-sex marriage. Actually going to create liturgy, David, for that relationship, so that you go to the priest, you go to your pastor, I'm a homosexual, we'll use this one. I'm a heterosexual, okay, we'll use this one. That's interesting. We have one Bible. Why would we need two sets of liturgy?
Well, we're progressing, I guess.
Well, you said it better than me. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.